Hello, friends, and welcome back to Out of This World with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today live from one of the world's most spiritual places, beautiful Mount Shasta, Northern California. I'm sitting here at the beautiful Mount Shasta Library with about 15, 20 people, we're having a wonderful, wonderful time today. We'll be telling everyone about what we've been seeing here at the mountain. Last night, we were visited by a Pleiadian commander. He appeared in the astral state last night, and also in all the pictures we take, this beautiful, sometimes pink, sometimes purple orb with another green orb within it, who comes to visit us and protect us. We were also able to obtain telepathic communication with the Pleiadian ship of a ship. And one of them, Jason Meyer on the trip here, who channels Adama, said that he saw the energy patterns of one of the ships was a beautiful flower pattern. And of course, flower is a flower of life, is a beautiful geometric pattern. And also, too, I told Jason that the message I was getting from this flower pattern was that it's a flower for the new age, the beautiful new age, which is now coming on the earth. And with that, I'd love to play, Nathan, if we could play the first minute or two of Mama Cass. This is an old song called New World Coming, just for a minute or two, and then we're going to do a world meditation here in just a minute. So if you could play that now, then we'll come back on the air. I hope you all like that little vignette to start off this second part of the show. That's, of course, is 1970, Mama Cass and A New World Coming. And that couldn't be truer today. From the information I've obtained from my galactic sources, the vibrations of the planet will increase by up to 50,000 times more than it is today by the end of December 2020. Of course, that'll mean that we'll be shifting quickly into the fourth, then into the fifth. Parts of the planet will be shifting into the fifth dimension, fourth and fifth dimensions first, followed by other parts of the planet. I've talked to former President John F. Kennedy a lot about this the last couple of years, and he said that the planet itself is becoming a beautiful ball of golden white light, and it's going to be here before you know it. So anyway, get ready, and I want to thank you so much for all listening today. We're all playing a part in this. We're all here for a reason. And with that, Mitch Kohayashi of the Moto Peace Project has some important messages on a meditation she'd like to share with the world. Michiko, please continue.
Okay. I thank you, Ted. We are giving this five-minute meditation every Wednesdays and Fridays between 9 p.m. and 9:15 p.m. Anytime from your local time, 9 p.m. and 9:15 p.m. just for 5 minutes. We would like everyone to meditate every Wednesdays and Fridays and send much love, respect, and apologies for having treated the Mother Earth poorly, and send much gratitude to Mother Earth, all people, all creatures, plants, trees, insects, rocks, and animals, etc., everything, so that this Mother Earth will be a peaceful and harmonious and beautiful, bright place for every beings to be able to stay alive. So for that, I would like everyone to keep sending much love and gratitude every Wednesdays and Fridays for 5 minutes. Then that will cover all around the world, because everybody will be doing that from their own local place, and that will cover whole Earth. So thank you so much.
Oh, wow. My pleasure, Mitchie. Thank you so much for sharing that. Actually, I want to give credit to our good friends, Gemma and Bradley in London, England, for sponsoring this prayer. We will be having them on in the future. We can't seem to reach them today. I know it's late in London right now. But with that, I also have a wonderful person named Dee from the beautiful Soul Connections. I want to say it's a bookstore, but it's more than that. I would call it a spiritual center here in Mount Shasta. If you are in the area, please take, if you're driving by Interstate 5, driving north through Northern California, please take 5 minutes and stop by their beautiful store. Dee, you have some very special pictures here. Could you tell us a little bit about what you have?
Well, Ted, first of all, I want to thank you for being in Mount Shasta again, because we love it when you bring that special, loving, caring energy here. So thank you for being here. Mount Shasta is a special place for people that need to be here. They will come to the mountain have special experiences, even when they don't know anything about the mountain. And so Soul Connection, we get a lot of the people that have questions because they've had incredible events happen in their life and they're looking for answers. And so we have the ability to get them to donate their pictures to us that they've taken on the mountain. So this here, which you can't see, are pictures of craft that have been taken over a 3-year period. One in winter of 2016 on the mountain. This one was in the newspaper on July 22nd, 2018, and we watched this one for several hours in the sky up over the eddies, and they're the same craft.
I know you can't see the pictures, my listeners, but maybe we can get some on the posted on the website with Dee's permission.
Yes, we'll get them on because it's important that they see them.
Okay. I hope you don't mind me saying this, but the pictures themselves looks like a flying aspirin tablet.
It does, and the interesting thing is the X underneath it, and I have seen other pictures now with this squiggly X on the bottom side of other craft.
Oh, my God, it says manufactured by Bayer in Switzerland.
Well, it looks like it, doesn't it? But this one didn't solve a headache. It kind of created one because we were like, oh, my goodness.
Okay, all right, interesting. Now, you've got some more interesting pictures. What's this here? Now, are these entities in the forest?
These were taken by an attorney, Kevin Knutson, out of Sacramento, up in Panther Meadow, which is like our most sacred spot, one of our most sacred spots. And he was watching some Peruvian shaman, and they were having an animated conversation with the trees. But he thought it was very interesting, so he took a picture. Then when he got home, these incredible, they're brown beings with big yellow eyes. You can see through them, basically, and then they have a heart center that you can see on the picture, which we'll get these pictures to you so you can put them up for your people. And then when we enlarge the heart center, you can actually see the moving energy of the heart through the picture. And these will turn out well when you take pictures of them. You'll be able to show them.
Oh, how wonderful. That's just amazing. Thank you so much for sharing those.
And so I would encourage anyone that comes to Mount Shasta, when they take pictures, go home and put them up on your monitor, because he could not see these, and most of these cannot be seen until you put them up on your monitors.
I see. Okay, great. And could you give out your address, please?
We're at 329 North Mount Shasta Boulevard. Mm-hmm. It's more than a bookstore, crystal store. It's a metaphysical emporium of the Golden Age, and you can feel that the moment you walk in, because they work very hard to keep that energy full of light and love.
Yeah, it's always there, and we'll actually, I'm inviting my group to go there after my show at 4 here, so anyway, Dee.
Yeah, and we'll get these pictures for your people to see.
Okay, great. What are you wearing, by the way? You've got some interesting jewelry I just noticed. Is that amethyst there?
It is amethyst.
Okay, and is that garnet you're wearing, garnet crystals?
It is amethyst, all amethyst.
Okay, yeah. Wonderful. Okay, Dee, well, you're welcome to hang around if you like, but you probably have to get back to work, so, okay.
Thank you so much for inviting me, and we'd love to get these out for people to see.
Okay, all right, Dee. Well, thank you so much again for taking time to come here. Really appreciate it. Well, now it's kind of like you've had the main meal today. You've had your salad. You've had the main meal, a 3-course meal. Now we'll get to the dessert. And this will be the sweetest, most interesting part of the program, because we have people here who've been in contact with the Pleiadians. Another gentleman here who's been regular several people who've been in contact with the Dhamma and the spirits of Telos and the inner earth. And several people have experienced a miracle healing. I have myself. When I arrived here, I was very tired and I needed a healing, and they gave it to me, and my energy's come back. Jason is my good friend from Vancouver, Canada. Jason, how are you doing today?
I'm well, Ted.
wonderful. Well, I do talk about you all the time, Jason. I always say nice things about you, by the way. And I said that your eyes were healed last year, and also they've been working on your eyes and other things as well. Would you like to tell people what's happened since then?
Sure. Well, I will talk about when I first came in. So when I first arrived to the campground, the children talked to me right away.
Of Telos.
Yeah, children from Telos. And after that, I felt them all around me. They just kept talking, and it's like they missed me.
Well.
And then the next day, the strange events, we sort of, a group of us went into town and just kind of went around. And then, Ted, you sent me a text saying Adama was waiting.
Yeah. Right, right. I said that, yeah.
So they went back to the campground and I said, so Adama, what should we do? He says, why don't you take a walk up the side of the mountain?
Okay.
So we went up to about halfway up, and then there's four of us. And then three of us went up to Ascension Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And on our way there, we experienced this incredible energy. It's like coming down us, and this wind was picking up as we walked up.
You also had, I took a picture of you too yesterday, and you had this morning you had a lot of purple light around you from St. Germain.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And then, so we came back down, and my eyes were a little itchy. I felt them working on it.
Mm-hmm.
But then as soon as you arrived, and we hugged, and after that, you just poured right in and just started going to work on my eyes, and I actually couldn't open them.
Yeah, you had to hire one of the Sasquatch to drive you, right?
Right, and then walk me over.
How many cinnamon rolls did you have to pay them to drive you?
Oh, it was only six.
Oh,
three,
yeah.
Six, and nine.
That's a bargain. Yeah, bargain price. Tell us this morning when you discovered the rice that we used to have for our dinners. Tell us a little story about that.
Well, I was guided to take a walk towards the outhouse. And about 2 minutes in, I was guided to just take a left. And then I walked around all this mound of white. So I was like, well, that looks interesting. And a bag. Looked very, very familiar. So I walked over, and it was our rice. Mm. Both ends were ripped open.
Yeah.
And very interesting experience. So
yeah, interesting, yeah. Interesting. Apparently, and then this morning, Naomi, you woke up. You were camping next to the little campfire area, and you discovered all of our papers and food had been strewn around. And tell us about what happened to the coffee too. Apparently, the Sasquatch don't like coffee.
The big bag of coffee was on the ground, away from the table, and it had like bite marks in it, and the plates were thrown around the ground, and there were two plastic bags that had, like, grocery store plastic bags in them, and they had been bitten open. And the package of small boxes of matches, there were three of them that had bite marks right in the boxes.
Well, they didn't seem to like the coffee, but, you know, like, things like rice needs to be cooked, so we need to put directions out for them. And the coffee the same way, because you just can't grab it and munch on it, you know. Because they took a part of the piece of the plastic bag around the coffee and said, yuck, how can humans drink this, eat this stuff?
Right.
Now, when the Pleiadian, you were telling about did you see the Pleiadian commander come in last night? Was it you or? Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
It was after dinner, and the group was standing there watching the sky, and you were explaining about the different shapes of the craft.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that the one straight overhead was a Pleiadian craft, and right. You were helping us understand how to identify it. And then you had us all send love and light to the ship and ask them to move a little bit. And I was kind of sitting at the picnic table about 2 feet away from the group. And so I sent my own greeting up, and then I noticed this shimmery shape right in front of me, and I could tell it was male and, you know, had the uniform on, mm-hmm. and he sensed he was a commander. And he was greeting me as if he knew me, and I was kind of like, okay, hello. And he said something to me, and then he gone. And then there were two other light beings, and they were shorter. They were felt very feminine, and they felt like, I guess maybe like fairies, like they were, there was a different kind of energy,
mm-hmm.
and they were greeting me like we were sisters. And then they were gone.
That's where you came from. One of the places you came from. We talked about that earlier.
Yes.
Actually, I don't know if you want to share the details of the reading I gave you. It's up to you. But if you don't, that's fine, because we've got lots of other people here with lots of other stories.
Okay, this morning I had a reading with Ted, And one of my questions had to do with contacting the beings in Telos. And my first time here in 2011, they had taken me down and had me work with some children. And there were odd things that weren't quite right with the children, and they were asking me what needed to happen. Right. And I was able to do it, and I don't know where the skills or the information came from. And so then when we came and we went with Jason's group up the mountain, and I sat on a rock, and I again connected, and they greeted me, and they said, "You are our healer." And I didn't quite understand that. So this morning I asked Ted to if he could explain that. And what he came up with was that, yes, that they are calling me. They're saying, "You are our healer," because I had been their healer many, many lifetimes ago. And then according to Ted, I kind of skipped town and didn't finish what I needed to do there. So now this is, you know, my time to go back and do more work there.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're happy you're back too. And actually what's unusual is that usually when you meet people from the Hollow Earth or Telos or Pleiadians, they help us because we're in a lower dimension. But in your case, you used to be there and you could help them with healing that they can't get in their particular dimension.
Right. I think the cases that they presented to me were odd. I know there was one child that had a different lineage, and it wasn't working well within the child, and somehow I knew what answer to give. And so I'm excited about this new adventure. We'll see where it goes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, Ted.
Well, thank you for sharing that so much. I'd also like now I'd like to bring on
Stacy Rush.
Okay, Stacy, thanks. Thank you for saying your name. I appreciate it. Now, you're a psychic and medium, and you've been on this trip as well. In 10 words or less, what have you seen? You can have more than 10.
Oh, I've seen many different things. I've had a lot of communications. And the energy, I've been here in meditation many times before, but physically, the energy here is intense. And it's very, it's really helping us, the larger group. One of the messages that I've gotten from the people of Telos, as well as from some of the Galactic Council members that visited my first night here, was that this is really helping all of us that are here on a much larger level to move into our best expression of our ascended selves going forth to help the larger whole of the planet. And so I've had work on myself several different times, but I've had some really interesting meetings with the different people, some of the guards when I went over to the meditation rocks and welcoming in, seeing the children playing, the Sasquatch, of course, and just a lot of the interdimensionals, because my eyes have been open for many years. So that's kind of my everyday norm. So here it's just like a wonderful playland of that. So I highly recommend people come here. And even though I've been here in meditation, my second night when we went on that meditation, you took us to the rock. They actually took me in to see the dome. And I did a little bit of grid work with that. So
talk about the dome.
Okay. So basically, oh, thank you. I'm holding the mic now. So basically, how the inner earth actually looks as it appears is like a dome biosphere or habitat, if you will, that's kind of open in several places that I've gone. I actually witnessed the energy movement of these different doorways and portals that I was given permission to enter, but didn't physically, more of an energetic form. And basically, how it works is like their whole their energy vibrations are being supported through this biosphere. I don't know if I'm using the right terminology but it's almost like this biosphere. There's a lot of luminous light energetics with it as well that are tapped in. And I can see the connections to the various other places around the planet through the one vision that I was given, but basically it supports their health, well-being, vitality in ways that I guess it would be possible on the upper planes as well.
Right.
But
right.
We're moving into that on a much larger scale as a planetary whole.
Uh-huh.
That's what I get.
Uh-huh. So, wonderful.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's wonderful.
Yes.
That's so cool. We've got we're going to bring on now. Let's see what we got here. Oh, hi, Doug. Thank you for coming up. Please have a seat. You're an interesting fellow. Tell us about your experiences at Mount Shasta.
Well, this is my first time here, and
Could you please give your name, date of birth, social security number, bank account numbers with passwords? I know some of my listeners would appreciate that.
All right. My name is Doug Beard, and this is my first time at Mount Shasta. And Ted did a healing for me, and I've been struggling with an autoimmune disease for many years. And so he gave me a prayer to say, and I went and meditated this morning, and as I was meditating and saying my prayer, I saw a face in my mind, and then it moved to the side, and I could see a trail and trees, and then the face came back, and when it moved away again, I was seeing a different view. It was like I was standing on a ledge looking down into a bunch of trees.
Well, fascinating. Did you feel like you went into Telos?
I was hoping I was there. Yes, yeah, I yeah, felt like it, yeah, for yeah. sure.
Can you imagine what's going to happen in a couple of years? People will be, the entire planet's going to be shifting into the fifth dimension, and people will be able to travel anywhere they want, astroplane. Can you imagine what's going to happen to the airline stocks? Price is probably going to plummet.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I'd rather mentally go to Talos than fly there because I'm kind of claustrophobic.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Doug. Absolutely. Now, I said this morning in your reading that I looked at them giving you a healing, and recommended meditating at these different portals, and they would come in and help you.
Yes, yes.
Yeah absolutely.
Yeah.
I know last September, they restored the eyesight in both of my eyes, so now I have crystal clear 20/10 vision in both eyes, which I'm extremely grateful for. And they said that they're working on my ears now. I have 10%, or I should say I had 10% hearing loss. Now I've got 5 or 3. So I can feel it. I'm hearing better, actually. Now on my right ear. Yeah, I'm getting better. It takes time.
That's good. It does take time.
Yeah, it does take time. I'll start dancing a little Plutian jig here in a minute. But
Yes.
I was surprised Simon said that the Plutians like heavy metal music. I would have never guessed it.
Oh, I wouldn't have either. You know, I'm a regular bluegrass guy. So, so they probably wouldn't like my music.
I wonder if they like Led Zeppelin. I got a yes. So anyway, it's not buying their stairway to heaven. But anyway, Doug, well, thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. And of course, you have your wonderful wife here, and she's had her own experiences at Mount Shasta. Meg, please share your experiences.
Hi, Ted. My name is Meg Wiley, and we live in Portland, Doug and I. And
Oregon, that is.
Portland, Oregon, yes. And so yesterday we took the trail to the restroom, and I was waiting, and a man appeared. He would just walked up, and
did he have a long beard?
Yes, he had
white robe, kind of white clothes.
No.
Okay.
No, he just had regular clothes, like you and I. He, at first, he looked like a, you know, kind of like a homeless person. His beard came down to his chest, and they were kind of dreads. And then he had long, gray, white beard, white hair. And we just started talking, and I told him that someone was in the restroom. And he said, okay, I figured that. And so we just talked, and he said he was a gypsy and that he had been a gypsy for a couple of years, and he had just been awakened, and that his mission was to spread love, and he liked to go to, well, his mission, that he said he had received messages that he needed to go into crowded areas, and he was going to be down at the 4th of July ceremony at Mount Shasta, and he was told that he needed to wear a white robe. And he said, well, he would look, but he didn't have any white clothes. And so we were just talking to him for a long time. And then Doug came out, and then he didn't go. He just stood there and talked to us for a very long time. He said that for the last 2 years, He has been going into very crowded places. He's been traveling all around the world, like all around the United States and Georgia. He said last time he was in Georgia and he was in Florida and all these places. And he liked to, he was told he needed to go to crowds and that people would just come to him and he was just to connect with them. And he said that he just spreads love. And so Doug and I got tears in our eyes while we were talking to him, and he said, I was told that when people get tears in their eyes, that means that I've connected with them. And he told us that his name was Daniel, and I told him that he was of the angels because name with a E-L on the end of it means that they are of the angels. And he said, oh, thank you for telling me that. I didn't used to like my name. And he said, but I've been told that before, that Daniel is, you know, a good name for an angel. And then so we, you know, talked for a little while. And when I went back to tell Ted that we met an angel, Ted told us that he was definitely from Telos. He had told us, I said, but Ted, he told us that he was a truck driver and that he was a boxer. And Ted said, well, they have jobs. So I was convinced that he was probably from Telos. But he during our conversation, he said, well, I am from, and then he changed the subject to, like, he didn't want to tell us where he was from.
Sure. Yeah, they do. A lot of them, more and more people from Telos are actually coming into this dimension, to Mount Shasta. They do have jobs around here. And a lot of them help out the Sasquatch, because those Sasquatch really do like those organic white frosted, you know, white frosting cinnamon rolls, and they buy them and they put them out in the forest.
Anyway, yeah, so Doug made some homemade cookies that we were going to share with all the campers and all the people attending this, and we haven't brought them out yet. But I asked Ted, I said, can I put some of these homemade cookies out for the Sasquatch? And you told us yes. And I asked you, how should I do it? Should I put them in baggies? And you said no. And I said, okay, well, we'll just put them out. So last night we put out 4 cookies, and this morning they were gone. And so I heard you talk about that the cinnamon rolls were still there. And then I got a message because they're burnt. They don't like them.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Doggone it. You know, when I was reading my Sasquatch cookbook last night, they said that they didn't like burnt cinnamon rolls. And, well, we'll just
kind of... they told me that they wanted more of the cookies.
Okay, well, I guess, last year they loved the cinnamon rolls. No matter where we put them, they were gone, snatched up within hours by the next day. And I could see them licking their chops and putting, you know, smacking their lips and everything. But now they've changed their minds and they like your cookies.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm sorry our cookies overshadowed your cinnamon rolls.
It's okay. It's all right. My feelings are hurt, but I'll get over it. You know, this is the way third dimension is. You get your feelings hurt and you move on. Yeah, you know, life is like that.
Just
take your lumps and then keep going.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to, what are we going to do for the cookies? Do we have to go out and get more cookies? Or?
We have more. We haven't shared them with the people of the group yet.
What are we
going
to do with the cinnamon rolls?
We'll have to eat the cinnamon rolls tonight.
I think if you cut the burnt part off, they might like it.
Okay. All right. Burnt. Okay. Let's cut the burnt part off the cinnamon rolls and put a sign up saying these cinnamon rolls are without burnt parts. And we'll apologize to them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this, I learned something. I learned something new tonight. Okay. And Jill, how would you like to come up and tell us a little bit about your fun here at Mount Shasta?
Sure. I'm Jill Tower from Absarkey, Montana.
Okay. That's on this planet. Is that right?
One over.
Okay.
I've been told.
All right. That's fine.
Well, I had the most wonderful 4th of July that I think I've ever had. We watched the fireworks from up on the mountain down in the city, and they were beautiful. And then everyone left, and we stayed, and we saw, I don't know, 80, 100 UFOs darting around up in the sky. It was very awesome. And, of course, my friend Stacy, who you heard from, she was calling them all in, asking them to shine purple and pink, blink three times, and of course they did. It was very cool. And so it was a wonderful light show for the 4th of July.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Did the Sasquatch like the 4th of July, or did they kind of keep to themselves?
I think they liked it. Uh-huh. Yeah. Earlier in the evening, I was out walking with a friend, and we went a ways from camp, and I could feel that I was being watched. And when I got down there, she said, we decided to take a selfie and actually caught an image of a Sasquatch in our picture. So we took a Sasquatch selfie.
Oh, that's right. You showed me that picture, and there was actually a Sasquatch in a higher dimension you could actually see in the picture.
Right. It was, yeah. That's right. Yeah, it really was.
That's amazing. Does he like cinnamon rolls? Is that the one who doesn't like the cinnamon rolls now, or does he like the cookies better? Did you ask him about that?
Well, he didn't have any comment on that, but I saw those cinnamon rolls when you guys got done cooking them, and my first comment was, they're burnt.
Oh, okay. Oh.
I wouldn't have eaten them either.
Yeah, well, these things happen in life. You know, you have setbacks, and you just keep forging ahead, so.
Rusha said she had a few dog bones she could leave instead, and I said, oh, come now. No.
Well, well, that's great. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. We had a nice lady named Jessie from Sunnyvale, California, who was here with her two lovely small daughters, and they had made this big feast. It was, when was that, last night or the night before last? Night before last, and they had a ton of really delicious corn, had past tense a ton of corn. Because during the morning about between 3 a.m. and 5 a.m., they heard this ruckus outside, and they kept saying, please, we just want to sleep. Just try to be quiet. So they woke up the next morning, I guess about 7 or 8, and all this food was gone. All the corn was gone, and all their pots and pans were strewn everywhere. And they also saw apparently a Sasquatch doo-doo out in the woods around them too. So that was interesting. And so it's concrete physical evidence for those naysayers who don't believe in Sasquatch and don't believe they're around. They're around. And also, too, we saw a whole bunch of different footprints as well from the Sasquatch. And Goldie, you can talk about that. Goldie's here as well, part of my group.
Yeah. They also like Dave's organic bread. They ate 2 loaves of that.
Oh, they did. Okay. Did they eat the plastic, too, or just the bread?
No, just the bread. Okay. And left the plastic. And they also drank the olive oil. They managed to open the bottle and drink some of that. I guess they drank most of it.
Wow, interesting.
Uh-huh. And then this morning, when I was up at Ascension Rock, I followed your advice, and I went early, mm-hmm. and I sat up there in my little chair, and one of the Sasquatch got so close, I could smell him.
Did he smell like Old Spice aftershave, or what did he smell like?
He smelled like unwashed human.
Okay.
Yes. I got that he was young, and he was not a juvenile, but he was a young one, and it was a male. And the smell was quite strong. So anyway, as I sat there doing what I consider meditation, which nobody else would consider it that way. But anyway, as I was sitting there, and I have to tell you, I did doze off. And when I woke up, I found myself in the doorway. I was standing in the doorway. And that was it. I didn't go in. I didn't go out. I was just standing there. And apparently somebody had spoke to me, you know, and I was communicating with someone in there. Mm-hmm. And then what I remember was talk to your guides. That's what I remember. That's what I got out of it. Talk to your guides, your spiritual guides.
They want you to try again tomorrow, and you'll be led. You can come in there. You can visit Telos if you want, mm-hmm. if you want.
Yes, I kind of got that. When I was standing there, they didn't say go away, so I figured, you know, well, okay, you know, maybe I can go in. So I figured I would go tomorrow or Sunday, both days, and just see what happens.
Okay. Well, I'm sure by tomorrow we're going to have lots more stories. Of course, the program ends in about 20 minutes now, but we're giving people a taste of it. Well, Goldie, wonderful. Would you like to share anything else from the trip?
Yeah, we went up to Heart Lake, you and I, and Jason helped me up the, what did we climb? 1,500 feet, right? Something like that?
1,500 meters.
It's meters or feet?
No,
feet. I got a third of the way up and I thought I was going to lose my body. I was really, really struggling. And then I held Jason's hand and I felt his energy come in. And by the time I got halfway up there, I got more energy. Instead of being tired-er, I got more energy. By the time I was at the top, I was feeling good. And I'm 72 years old, young. Excuse me, young, 72 years young.
You don't look a day over 16.
Or whatever.
Oh, great, Goldie. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That's really great.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Goldie. Thank you. Thank you so much. Jason, come on back. I want to talk about a little bit about what you and I saw this yesterday, late in the evening, just before it got dark, with the Sasquatch Peace Mandela and the Sasquatch markers. Talk about the markers.
Oh, yes. We've found some stones that were stacked on one another. Was it two of them?
There are actually three. Yeah, and what Sasquatch do is that they will build a stone tower to mark their territory, and this is definitely their territory. Actually, where we're camping, was it you who was telling me it's a portal, but it's also a Sasquatch highway too. So we've camped in a little place where they've got, they just go back and forth all the time. So and if they see little snacks, a little restaurant on the side of the road with lots of corn and stuff to eat, well, there you go. Take what you get.
And also they had the sticks. They're sort of like two circles.
Uh-huh, right. Two circles, yeah. And then there was another portal we visited today, too. And then some of the Sasquatch had also built a little Peace Mandela there as well. So
right on top of the rocks, there's like a tree... twig with the moss on it and some other branches.
That's the place. Yeah, that's the place. Yeah, they're certainly letting us know that they're around. You can't really ignore it. If you put food out at night and all your pots and pans and the food's gone the next morning with big giant teeth marks in it and a Sasquatch poo all over the ground, you get this feeling that they are there.
And then by the table where the fireplace is,
uh-huh.
The fireplace, fire pit. And you walk in between the trees. I saw the stones in like a, almost like a heart, not quite, with twigs in it. Was that there last year? Or is that?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think that was there last year. No. They've been busy. Yeah, they've been busy. They've been busy. Now, we've got about 15 minutes left or so, and I wanted to ask you, before you leave, Jason, okay, real quick, and then we'll bring you back here. And any messages you channel, you've been channeling Adama since last year, any messages from dear Adama he'd like to share with my listeners?
Well, we won't be channeling because all the work that the Adama and the Telosians have been doing on me. My body is in, how do you describe it, in flux. So in order to channel, I need to be centered and balanced and in harmony. But he has been talking to me throughout, just staying positive. And whatever I witness in the three, just relies on a higher observation. That they're just on a different level and have compassion and love for them, but also have boundaries. Not let anyone push you around or tell you what to do.
Okay, good advice. Yeah, that's good advice. Does he do 401k retirement investment advice at all or different stocks to recommend?
He's laughing.
He's laughing at that. That's definitely a third dimensional question. No, this program doesn't go into that. Okay, but we do have another psychic here.
Stacy Rush.
Stacy wants to chime in.
Yes. My name is Stacy Rush. You heard from me a little bit earlier, and I do. Technically, I'm a global teacher, healer, speaker, and cosmic messenger. And I've had contact consciously since I was 14, but really earlier on than that. But basically, what I'm getting is that, and throughout this, for everybody present in the room here and also then on the lines, is that they will be bringing directly to you energy from Mount Shasta, as well as Saint Germain is here also to make whatever adjustments each individual would be willing to receive. So if you are wanting that, you can just agree with a yes or an acceptance, and the energies are coming in really strong. So you can go ahead and have that if you're ready. And just breathe deep into it and with it, because it's actually, I can see a lot of the people that are on and currently listening literally online all over the planet are getting their adjustments or whatever would be needed. And then while that energy is coming in, any specifics that you individually would need, you just need to request it and allow it to be changed. And what they're saying is that, yes, this is a very pivotal time, not only for the planetary and the universal and the cosmic changes, but they're saying hold strong. And to take time to meditate on why it is that you chose to through specifically in this incarnation. What was going to be your direct gift for the planetary whole? Because by what we do in the here and now directly affects the rest of the cosmos, even beyond our, in the cosmos, beyond those cosmos and beyond those, because we're just a minuscule pinpoint in a much larger scope of what's happening. And but they've been holding on for us. And so they really want us to each take that time to really bring forth that best expression of ourselves and what we intended to do and be. And that's all I'm getting.
Okay, good. Well, those are wonderful words of wisdom. I'd like to bring Naomi back in briefly now, because she has an important message she shared with me during the reading I gave her about taking care of the land and people. Go ahead and please share that.
Hi, Ted. This is Naomi again. For about a year and a half, a friend and I were doing evening meditations. And we would start a global meditation, and we were aware that higher white light beings were coming in and joining us. And then we did this for about a year and a half. And after a couple of weeks, we were being taken to places, and we realized that we were going sometimes to craft or being with off-worlders. And they were asking us, what is it that you want for your planet? And we were clear that, you know, we're just two individuals, but they wanted to get our opinions. And so the things that we cared about were we wanted help to care for the land, the people, the water, to help our leaders make good decisions. And in the course of this year and a half that we did this work, sometimes they would guide us to be in certain locations, you know, astrally, and I might be on one coast and with my feet in the water, and she might be on the other coast, or they might take us and we were on a little platform off the planet. And then they would direct us with what kind of healing that we had said that we were interested in. And then they would bring all of this power and force behind us. And what they said is, we can't come in and interfere or do this, but if you have desired this for your planet, then we can support you. But sometimes the energy was just so incredibly strong. And so just to hear that happening is just so heartwarming.
Yeah, things are changing. And I know President Kennedy has said that if he had lived and hadn't been assassinated back in the 60s, we would have ascended by now. And we'd be living in the fifth dimension. But because it's the destiny of this planet to ascend and become a beautiful, bright planet full of peace and light and love, we're doing it now. And the cabal, negative hit, negative forces, can't stop it, period.
I agree.
And resistance, as they say on Star Trek, is futile. Well, we've got about 8 minutes left, and with that, I want to bring on Michiko Hayashi, and I want to ask her to do her she uses a 528. It's basically a love tuning fork, and she hits it with a Lemurian crystal that's been infused with lots of love and light from the Lemurians here at Mount Shasta. And explain a little bit about that, and I want you to wrap it up. We've got about 7 or 8 minutes left now. That's right. Go ahead, Michi. Let's talk about that, okay?
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Ted. This 528 hertz is a love frequency, and this even fixes the DNA, everything on this earth. So Dr. Emoto used to use this when he started his water ceremony, blessing ceremony, and started with 528 hertz. And he said that all our wishes will go up to the universe and then come back to where we are, to the water, all affecting all waters all around the world, 100 and 200 times more, even more powerful. So now I use this 528 hertz to start our prayers together. And this is such a critical time for this earth, for humanity, and for all beings on this earth. So, and Dr. Emoto came down to me in January and said that collectively we should be sending water blessing ceremony all the time, constantly, because this is really important, right? Especially now, this time. And it is our responsibility to bring back the beautiful earth with love and light. So I would like to hit this 528 hertz and send prayer.
Okay, yeah, please do. Yeah, 528 is the frequency of love, for those interested. And I want to tell you that in many parts of planet Earth, the frequency in the Schumann resonance has gone beyond 528. So we're higher than love now. So we are definitely shifting into higher dimensions. Thank you, Michiko, so much for doing that. With that sound, we've now blanketed the planet in every country and all over the world, over 90 countries, with a blanket of love right now. And if you'd like to come on this trip to Mount Shasta, there is some room left for people. That's still beyond September 5th to the 11th. And if you're interested, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. What I've noticed, I've been coming here since 2016, and every year gets easier and easier to contact both the Talosians, to get in contact with the Sasquatch, who's been stealing a lot of our food, but I don't care. It's fine. You know, and if they don't like our burnt cinnamon rolls, then we'll give them what they want. You know, it's a lesson, you know, life is full of challenges, you know, and if you burn the dishes, you just got to start all over again. So anyway, since the Paradise and Malibu, I don't want to call them fires because they were done by directed energy weapons last year in October, November, whatever. There were many light workers, including myself, made a call out to the Pleiadians and the Galactic Alliance, to come and help us. And the Pleiadians responded, and they sent over 2 million ships, and there are over 2 million ships currently are circling the planet in addition to the regular contingent of galactic ships too. So they are all here, but they're very strict about free will. And if you don't ask them for help, they're not going to intervene. But you just ask them for help, and they're there. And you can see the craft at night because you look, and it's kind of like a rectangular shaped a ship with lots of different lights on it, and they're multicolored. And unlike stars that are only one point of light, these are many parts, many clusters of light put together, and they stay. Unlike stars, which move during the night, these things stay there all night. You know, you go to sleep maybe at 9 or 10 at night, 10 o'clock at night, and you'll see the ships there. Get up the next morning early at 5 a.m., 4 a.m., they'll still be there. They won't have moved. And the other thing you can do too, because they are a service to other civilization, if you meditate and send them lots of love and light in a positive way, they will respond. And, you know, like Simon said during my first hour of today's show, if you ask them to do a little dance, they love to dance, and they will move that craft back and forth. And that's how I think the Pleiadian commander came down and said, let's check out these humans. So that's what he did last night. And they're going to be more of that tonight as well. So we've got the Sasquatch running around interdimensionally stealing our food, not eating our burnt cinnamon rolls, but they do like the homemade cookies. So they're going to be eating that. And then we've got the Pleiadian ships flying around at top. And then, of course, we've got the people of Telos underneath us who come by and visit us. And they're giving us healings. They're giving Jason a healing. They're giving me a healing. And they're wonderful, benevolent, kind, loving people. And the other thing, too, I wanted to ask, we've only got about 2 minutes left now. But as the vibrations go higher and higher, Jason, do you think it's easier for the people of Telos to come in and visit us because it's not a far stretch to go from their fifth dimension to our third, because our third dimension is becoming fourth and now fifth?
Yes, as the vibrations rise, it's easier for them to step down their energy to interact with people on the surface.
Okay, yeah. That's.
But what I got also was they will not come to surface en masse until there is peace on Earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's so important not to be taken into any negativity or fighting or any kind of activity or attempts by the cabal to try to destroy the planet with nuclear or other weapons. It's a shame that this incident with this Russian submarine happened a couple days ago before the 4th of July, because I think President Trump was ready to announce some major changes in a positive way for the planet. But it will come. The planet is shifting into the higher dimensions. And you're all part of it today. And had President Kennedy lived back in the 60s, we would be in the fifth dimension now. We'd be living at least 300 to 400 years. There would be no poverty. Disease would be eliminated. And we have a very different and much happier society. But we're still going to get there. It's just taking some extra time. I hope everyone listening today has a really beautiful and happy weekend. I'm broadcasting live from beautiful Mount Shasta in California, one of the most spiritual places on the earth. Next week, I'll be back in the studio in Seattle. But I hope everyone has a beautiful and happy day, and I hope you all have. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye, everyone. Have a beautiful weekend. Bye-bye.